Blog Talk Radio.
It's DA.
Electric Man.
Oh, yeah. About to close, so tell me what's gonna happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around, and your man just set you free. Baby, I'm your destination. You're my destiny.
Hey girl, the club's about to close. Are you going with him or with me, or who's your designated driver? That's what we'll be talking about this evening, ladies and gentlemen. We interrupt these airways to bring you a more serious matter about the club. We switched things around a bit on you and brought you the disappearing act. But wouldn't it be nice when you left the club that you could just disappear? Not able to be seen like a vapor. But we know that's not possible. There are many predators lurking around the club. You know how you young folks do it? I'm calling you to the airways. Take a seat. Now, can I come into your bedroom for a minute? Why don't you allow me into your den? Or perhaps in your kitchen, lounging on your bed? I want to talk to you and you and you and you and you who are still out there clubbing. Deltas, Sigmas, Alphas, Betas, Kappas, Q Dogs. Hoo hoo. Talking to y'all, Greeks. We fought to become Greek. We did everything in our power because we didn't want to be a GDI. But we grouped together because we wanted to go out to the club. And do you know what clubbing stands for? Club upside the head. I say, oops, upside the head. You done fallen and can't get up. Now you in the pen. What are you going to do about that? You had such a good time at the club. It was a Kappa party, you know, because they get down like that, and they're getting ready to get down this weekend. How many more of our young people are we going to give up to the system? How many cars will be picked up and impounded? How many young men will be tested for the breathalyzer after taking one casual drink and pronounced intoxicated and thrown in jail with bail unarrested where there is no bail? How many of our brothers and sisters will be giving up this weekend on account of partying with the Deltas, partying with the Kappas, and getting down whoop-whoop with the Q-Dolls? I want to talk to you in a serious manner. I hope you're in a place where you can listen. Listen up, young men and women, and some of you gray-haired old women that are still clubbing. Half the clubs are closed down right now. But we're working so hard to reinvent the wheel because we got to get out and do our stuff. We got to shake it down, baby brown, and if we can't do that, we're going to create our parties right on campus. Now, I want to speak to you and you and you and you who are doing your thing on these college campuses while your cars are being stolen away, while you are having to come up with the money to get it out of the pound before somebody auction it off. Is this a racket or what? Susie just got her car compounded last week and is still sitting on the lot because she don't have $1,000. Now here, look at here. John's car is compounded and he got those new spoken wheels. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that cost $1,000 and his car is woo, 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 pound up with everything, which adds up to about maybe $6,000-$7,000 or so that he done upgraded this car on. Well, why don't you upgrade your mind? Because knowledge is power. Let's get out of the club and let's get the club up out of our head and stop getting oops upside the head and thrown in jail because you had a breathalyzer that most of the policemen and official people out there are students walking around impersonating an officer using equipment that might be inadequate. But nevertheless, you don't have to be told what your blood alcohol level is. All you need to hear, son, you are under arrest. And you don't even ask them what for. What was my blood alcohol level, officer? Stay tuned. We're going to school you so you can stay up out of those clubs. Listen up, young men and women. This segment has been interrupted for your benefit. We are starting a campaign to work with professors, universities, Greeks, Deltas, Kappas, Alphas, Omegas, and those whoop-whoop dogs who think they can't be civilized. You need to wake up and understand knowledge is power, and you need to educate your people about self. We do not need another disco. When the disco went out, those people were paid, and they weren't riding around in their car, sipping on gin and juice, laid back. They got their mind on their money and their money on their mind, laid back. Before you get too laid back, sit down for a minute, brothers and sisters. I have a little discussion for you because you have been the biggest overtaken person where you are being a consumer without even knowing it. You didn't have to make a purchase. Somebody cashed in on your car. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to get a train out of here to bring you back some knowledge. Why don't you come and go with me? Come on, train. Let's take these folks down the road. Knowledge is power. Say it with me. Knowledge is power. Get on the train. Knowledge is power. Come on. Get on the train. Knowledge is power. Come on, Delta. Come on, Alpha. Come on, Kappa. Put the dance down. Come on. We got to get up out of here and get some real knowledge. Come on, cute dog. You don't need to be doing your stuff. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, bringing you some knowledge to talk about this clubbing thing that's clubbing up upside of our head. Oops, you done been clubbed upside the head. Ladies and gentlemen, all jokes aside, you got your Omi here live coming to you straight from my living room. I am your advisor. That's why I'm talking to you like this, because I love your black self so much that I can speak to you in that manner. I am your advisor, and I am the one you want. I am your emperor here to serve you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have interrupted these airwaves to bring you a segment that is so important. So important that I am going to talk about designated drivers, and I'm going to talk about this racket that has been in our ear, and we've been turning our heads aside, looking the other way. Some of you have been partnering in crime with these people that are putting misdemeanors on certainly innocent people who went out for a good time but found themselves locked up with a bond that they can't even pay because a racket has gone on, so they can rack your car up, sell it, auction it, get the money for it, and get the title and deed. How does one get the title and deed for your car? What is the process? Baby, knowledge is power. You need to know what Omi knows so you can figure out, is this man looking to lock me up, or does he want to lock up my car so he can get the deed and ownership too? Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to know what's going on. It's not all fun and dances, Delta. Look alive, Q-Dog. Stand up there, Kappa Man. Put your stick down so you can hear the unindoctrinated bucket-necked truth today. Because it's not about shaking it on down, Q-Dogs. And it's not about saying, Deltas and AKAs, wipe the smile off your pale face and understand what I'm saying today. I've been Greek for over 30 years, and never once did I avoid a party, because partying was what we did when we was in college. We wanted to see who could throw down the most. But I tell you one thing, we always had a designated driver, and most of us weren't drinking any more than H2O, because we was whooping it up on the floor. And you think we want to be intoxicated in order to do our best dance? No. You, my friend, are confused. You are not going out exerting your body, taking in poisons into your body, drinking alcohol. A king is not fit to take in strong drink. You give strong drink to those who are going to perish. You don't give strong drink to those who are kings and queens. What's wrong with you, black man? Why do you have to exert all that energy and become intoxicated on a dance floor? You know how to do that boogie-woogie. You don't need to get no spirits in you. You're not about to perish. We're going to talk to you alcoholic stores who are featuring commercials all over our airways to our young people about how good it is to have some Marcel and that gin and juice. I don't even know all the names of the alcohol, and I don't even profess to know, because it won't mount you to nothing. If you want to get your head right, get some knowledge and say, oops, upside the head, I done got some knowledge on the situation. Here's the situation, young people. You can have a good time, a great time, getting to know your black self and what you've accomplished as you sit around these spiritual rooms and play your drums and let your drums lead you into another capacity and taking your mind back to the motherland and go into the spirit. Go into the spirit and let your spirit lead you. Dance in the spirit. You haven't had no drink. You haven't tasted alcohol, but yet you having a good time. Don't tell me that you need a drink to feel good about yourself. The music itself will lift you. The music will take you away. The music will take you to the spirit world. The music will take you away. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, go back to your heritage. Understand that you are spiritual people. You are not supposed to be taking strong drinks. I don't care if it's wine. Think back way back into the motherland. I wanted to take you away for a moment to let you know, as we sit here all around the airways, ladies and gentlemen, there are spiritual rooms where the dancing and the music is going on. People are getting their heads right. Their mind is being renewed. Their energy level and frequency is vibrating, and they're like a vapor in the air. They travel through an electrified journey, and they go to the underworld. They visit unknown places. When they return, they are refreshed, they are renewed, and they are overcomers. They are strong in their fortitude and in their mind. They have allowed the ninth ether to evaporate into the mind of God, and they get to know the mind of their higher self, and they don't have to partake of this poison called alcohol into their blood vessels. Go with me for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Meditating and synchronizing your vital sign as I synchronize mine. We're going into the talking cure. We're going to ask our ancestors to touch all over this world every young man and woman who has been victimized and condemned to the drink, to the club. Those who think they cannot be a great man or woman without taking a drink for courage. We're going to show them that the spirit is quite able to give you what it is you're seeking in the underworld. Your drinks, you will soon come down after. What you don't know is a meditation spirit. You can take it anytime you want, and it is safe. Why did they not tell you the side effects of alcohol? You become listless. Your mind is short. Your short-term memory and long-term memory, it's a thing of the past. At the same time, you're losing brain cells, and at the same time, you're diminishing yourself. And addicting yourself, and addicting when you can't say no if you wanted to. It is now calling you. That's right. It is now calling you. In my spirit of counseling and alcoholic drug abuse, I saw men and women addicted to multiple conditions of alcohol and other substance and tobacco abuse. An addiction is an addiction. What may be a casual thing will lead to an addiction. However, look in your heart and purpose in your mind that partying you cannot afford to do out in the courtyard in the public when it's going to cost you money on removing yourself from the penal institution, obtaining your car out of auction or in the pound. It's going to cost you something to have a feel-good, good times. Greek, are you with me out there? It's going to cost you something. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know somebody else has already meditated on you. Somebody else has already gravitated on you. Let's gravitate over to the spirit room now as we call on the ancestors and as we call on our higher self and get to know the mind of the Creator. And as we begin to call the spirits and the ancestors to show us that our bodies were not made to contain alcohol substance, because of our very nature, we are already consumed with energy. Fire does nothing but burn up more fire. Our bodies was not made to partake of it, ladies and gentlemen. And all of you young people, put it down. Put it down. Put it way down. Put it down. You got to be able to put it down. What are you saying on me? But I must have something when I go out and I want to feel good. What are you talking about on me? This is a time to socialize. Then if we were socializing about the right thing, our economic status would be better than what it is now. We would be well on our way to be a millionaire because we would be less intoxicated and more sophisticated and acclimated to what is going on around us. Wake up, you black people. Wake up your black self right now. And anybody else in this room that's asleep, I denounce your slept and slumber and say, wake up. And understand we are living in trying times now. We are living in economic perilous times when there is no excess money for foolishness. Foolishness and folly is like a fool. Their money and them soon will perish. Why not be intelligent? And that doesn't have to be an intellect or an academia. Just have pure common sense. Understand, they gave the spirits and strong drink to the man who was about to perish. That is why they call alcohol a spirit. It will change the natural man and bring you down to a sub-level that you will compromise your integrity and fall below the level of a prudent human being. Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. You are in a war. Your consciousness has to remain sharp. Your tools and ammunition are not carnal through the pulling down of the strongholds. You must hear me this night. You must have a designated driver to enter into this knowledge. This is the kind of knowledge that conquers and divines. This is the knowledge that they speak of with the Willie Lynch theory. If enough of you can capture your brothers and sisters who are weak in the mind, who've been hit upside the head with that club, and get them in a car and hold them hostage so that those fellas in that blue suit can come and hit them upside the head again and tell them you must adhere to what I'm saying, whether you like it or not. I'm going to take you down because I need to get my numbers right. You have set yourself up for a penal institution whooping. And when you get there, your family don't have no money to play with, and there is no extra money to throw around, and your friends don't know you no more. Come on now, people. We have let our children down, mother. You're saying stay out the club when you at home clubbing yourself, drinking gin and juice, and passing around the bottles to them. I'm talking to somebody's grandmother out there on the couch right now who's sipping her little drink or two. I'm talking about that daddy sitting over there bloated with his beer belly, drinking constantly, saying, I told Junior not to go down there to that club. I knew it would be nothing but trouble. Junior, bring me a beer out that kitchen. And you are setting the baddest example. We got to let it go. 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 How can it prosper you if you are to be the new leaders of the world when you're drunken in your own madness and at the same time you're sending your children out unarmed against this war that they're in? You're sending them out a target. And don't let a man have a girlfriend that is controlling. She control him by placing him in the jail cell, by encouraging him to be involved in the club activity, or encouraging him to drink with her. If you have a codependent and someone wants you to keep feeding them alcohol, or if you are that person that's feeding someone else alcohol, you are in no better shape than that would-be alcoholic. Now, what makes you an alcoholic when you're just casually weekend drinking? Oh, I can put it down. Then put it down, because we have a nation to raise up, and we don't want our nation intoxicated. We don't want someone to accuse us of being sloppy drunk, where we can't contain ourselves. I'm speaking to my sons and my sons-to-be that are out there. Wherever they are, I'm speaking to them. I'm dedicating this to them because they weren't raised that way. If they choose to become a man and go outside of my home and sit with others who are sipping on their little something to drink, and they're admiring what they're doing because they make them feel like they're strong and they're an adult. No, you're not. You're not being accountable. Your body breakdown and tissues are being torn apart. The liver structure is being overtoxicated. And you are setting yourself up for cirrhosis. And at the same time, young men, if you start early and someone feeds you this stuff, call out to the God in heaven and ask him to take the taste away. Don't let the addiction get you. Don't let it overtake you, because it comes to rob, steal, and to kill. But you created this demon that you crave for so much, that dance in the club, that drink in the club. Now you've got this demon that won't get off your back. You got this demon that's calling you to the drugstores or to the liquor store, and now you're on to something else. One thing begets another. Then you got the young brother saying, I'm going to get a blunt, I'm going to smoke some reefer, and ain't nothing you going to do, I'm going to get my head right. If you get your head right, give up the weed. Brothers and sisters, don't be deceived. This is where they are getting people, by loading it and lacing the weed that used to be natural with all kinds of substance that will attach onto your melanin in your body is a major, major gland that acts as a depressor that would allow this substance to leach onto melanin, and you can never get rid of it. And that constant psychological problem repeats itself in your body. In pharmaceutical drugs, street drugs, those of you who are partaking of those pain pills and buying up other people's pain pills, it's all a substance, ladies and gentlemen. Why are you looking to get your head right so much? Get your mind right. Get your spirit right. And right about now, I'm going to help you get your spirit right. I'm taking you over to the Talking Cure. Stay tuned so you can get your head right as we go over to the Talking Cure. Has been dedicated to all those coming up, but not for the problem, but our sister. They didn't know the mission. He began life of having love, of grateful, of head on. They not have been. They don't need to see God come. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for being a part of this Talking Cure. On a serious, more serious note, there's so many young people that are going straight from the universities and the college right into the penal institution. Unbeknown to them, they were just partying, having a good time, pledging Delta, pledging Kappa, pledging Alpha, Omega, AKA, or GDI. All they knew is they were told there was on a committee to pass out all of the flyers and to set the parties up. What a setup if I ever seen one. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't normally talk from the radio pulpit, but today I am. And I'm speaking to you, Kappas. I'm speaking to you, Kappas. What I've seen happen on these Kappas with the Kappas personally. It is embarrassing. It is embarrassing for a man to degrade himself to the level of a gang or a hustler. The indoctrinated truth, the Greeks came from Egypt. There is a certain attitude and mandate that you must carry yourself under. And you cannot prey upon the weak ones. Calling yourself breaking them in, sending them out into the world to break them in, to expose them to dangerous, caustic materials such as drugs, alcohol, and saying you are making a man out of them. You're a liar, and the truth ain't in you. I say stop it. You must stop this madness. You've joined a Greek organization. Remember that. Why not study your history and understand what it was about? Not about setting up these parties that will turn into intoxication events, drinking quantities of liquor. Kappas, I'm speaking to you. Well, you can't have my firstborn, or you can't have my lastborn. You are going to have to be accountable for what you do to these young men, Greek. You're going to have to be responsible for what you expose them to. Nobody cares. Most of the people that you buy the liquor from are glad that you're feeding it to our young men. I want to say one thing. If I don't ever see another disco party that's given by Greeks, it won't be too soon. We have got to undo the damage that we've done in these communities when it comes to the partying. It's okay to have a good party. Omi likes to party herself. Playing the game of enjoyment is one thing, but you have to leave the club sane and non-intoxicated. You cannot leave a club intoxicated at the expense of your career. It is too doggone expensive. Now, what is happening on the other side with the men in blue? Are you being treated fairly? Are you being targeted? And if you are, how do you handle yourself on the streets when you're stopped? What do you do to protect your rights? And do you consent to a breathalyzer? And if you feel you've been shown partiality, or if you feel your rights were violated, who do you appeal to? How do you appeal if you're incarcerated? What are your inalienable rights? All of these things must be sought after before you decide to go out partying. Every day is a dangerous day when you leave with the intentions to go to the club without a plan. Never go to the club without a designated driver. Find someone in your group that is not drinking. And if you suspect that someone in your car, in your presence, was not equally examined with their ID scrutinized and them being given a breathalyzer, question it. Ask, is there something wrong? Could you happen to know this other person? Now speak this in your mind. You don't have to talk it out aloud, because you might find the officer physically abusing you and claiming you're talking back. Remember the black laws that were in order. If you refuse or talk back, you could be killed, and it could be claimed that you were disrespecting and they were getting you in order. And they might do the Rodney King thing because you're questioning things. Remind yourself to keep that information in your mind, in the back of your mind. Do like the officer tells you. Follow his instruction. But when you get in front of your lawyer, your jury, you tell it like it is. The natural bone bucket, naked truth. I don't care who's there. Don't be so quick to take one of their lawyers. Tell them you will get your own. Pay for your own lawyer if you are not guilty. Plead not guilty. Don't take a plea bargain. Please don't take a plea bargain. You don't know what you're being sent up the river for. You don't know how your records are being scarred. When you talk to your lawyer, reason with him. If you feel you're innocent and you want to go to trial, ask them to take it all the way. But be prepared for the journey, because it is a journey. Ladies and gentlemen, our lives are not our own anymore. It is very dangerous every time we not only let our black male child out the house after dark, but even our female daughter. We are finding that this is becoming an occupation for people to apprehend cars and take those cars and put them on the market to auction and have their own business going at the expense of your hard-earned money. It's going on, ladies and gentlemen. I interrupted these airways to talk about them. I'm going to open up my phone lines, and I'm telling you, if you're out there and you want to talk about these situations, there's a process. You have recourse if you feel that you've been violated. Call in. Talk to your mothers, your fathers. Even call down to the professional standards department of the organization, of the men in blue, and let someone know. Don't go on becoming bitter. You don't get bitter, you get better. And even by going the task of fighting a situation where you may have been handled inappropriately. There are some people whose standards fall below the level of a prudent human being. They must be chastened and corrected, and their officers have been trained to do just that. Now allow the officers to do their job. Let them investigate if there are any possibilities that that investigation was conducted inappropriately. Inappropriate manner, there is no excuse for inappropriate manner. If you're a trainee or not, no one has any business in using unnecessary roughness with a victim who is being incarcerated. And their rights that they must be read. They must know what they're being arrested for. And if they have cause to pull you over, they must cite to you why they pulled you over. Young people, quit jumping in these cars not knowing that you're driving a vehicle that has a huge engine that you must maneuver. You cannot drive an engine that could possibly kill someone on the road and leave you subject to that family or person. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to a commercial. We'll be right back at you in the atmosphere.
Cadman presents the African American audio experience, including Black Boy by Richard Wright, A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry, selections from the Nikki Giovanni Poetry Collection, selections from the Tall Tales chapter of Every Tongue Got to Confess by Zora Neale Hurston, three poems by Gwendolyn Brooks, and selections from Langston Hughes Reads.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Curatorium Room. Omi got rather into it back there. And I want to say for the listening audience, I have every reason to get involved. I have children, too. And they're being attacked the same way a lot of yours are. And they're being approached in inappropriate ways on the highway, just like some of yours are. And I know that some of you mothers are hurting, don't know where to turn, and even some of your youngsters' cars are still locked up, unbeknownst to them, where they cannot find them. My question is, why are they hiding these cars away? And why are they putting astronomical fees on them, knowing that families cannot afford to get them out of this impoundment? Ladies and gentlemen, the states and the cities are broke. They're not only doing this with your cars and vehicles and locking you away under false arrest, but they are also attacking your money. Your money in a stock option, your money in the savings, and in unemployment. It is becoming a racket. It's a mafia racket where they're doing it incognito. Well, I want you to know you have a senator, and your senator wants to hear from you. Any unusual behavior needs to be reported like an unidentified alien who done came down here and overtaken society. You need to tell on that unidentified alien and let somebody know what they're doing. Now, I don't mean being a snitch. Let me talk to you a little bit. I'm not talking about, I tell you where the coon hide, I show you where the coon hide, just pay me the money. I'm not talking about being a CID, coon head, playing the role of working for CID. I'm not talking about that. Too many of us think we're going to get paid and get paid off for being a snitch next door and turning shades of black into blueback. You don't know what they are anymore because they don't appreciate and respect their black selves, that anybody black, they got their foot on their neck and they want to turn them in. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, do you have a designated driver? Is there someone there that can take note of the environment and that's conscious enough to know what's going on? Why are you getting so unconscious that you are not aware of your surroundings? Ladies and gentlemen, we can never be out of the heat. We're fresh out of slavery. We haven't been out of slavery beyond 400 years. But at the same time, we manifest slave-like behaviors and function like slave masters. We got to give up the slave master and slave man mentality if we're going to ever be free, at least. And we're going to have to see that things like alcohol, reefer, cocaine, drug addiction, pharmaceutical drugs are what hold us back. If you're not incarcerated in your sane mind, someone is looking to incarcerate you in the mental institution. The same thing applies. We have gotten you off the streets. You're not accounted for. You're not a voter. You don't exist. So therefore, we can reduce you right along with the population reduction. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go over to the talking care room, and let's go over to talk about our problems and what ail us in our communities and how we can get these Kappas, Q Dogs, aka Deltas, to hear us. Join hands and don't divide yourself. You're only but one nation. Come together on your big events and do things that are going to help your community. And take the alcohol out. You're not benefiting from it. You're not even circulating a dollar in your community off that alcohol. Everybody know you're the biggest partier and the biggest clown, so they figure they fool you up with alcohol and you keep the party going. Let's stop the party. Let's stop the party. As everybody like to say, I'm going to keep the party going. If you're going to keep the party going, then do it in this manner, in the spirit realm, as I showed you with the drums. Now let me go over and light a candle for my mother spirit, and I say Ashe. I light a candle for my father spirit, and I say Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my mother spirit, and I say Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my father's spirit, and I say Ashe, Ashe. And I hope you're lighting your green candles. Ladies and gentlemen, I confess and decree that these green candles are drawing all of the filthy lucre to everyone who's represented here today. I decree that these green candles have been set up for the energy to frequent this household and those households who are represented here today, calling the filthy lucre to every household, calling the filthy lucre to every household, calling the consciousness to every household. Wake up our young brothers and sisters. Wake them up and tell them that God has need of their minds. Tell them that God wants them to come into salvation. Wake them up. Eternity. Renew your mission statement. Write out the process and the objectives of your organization that will build institution and not louts and drunks and those whose mind have been deteriorated. I'm decreeing every young man who might have been addicted or every young woman, their minds are free. Their minds are unincarcerated. They're free from these penal institutions. I call them out of these penal institutions. I call their name one by one that they may sober up, wake up, and come out of these penal institutions, clear up their mind, and make it up in their hearts that having this fun and folly and driving while intoxicated will be no more. And those of you who are perpetrating a crime, waiting for these young men and women to come out of these so-called clubs so you can incarcerate them, I paralyze your moves this day. You have no more authority on falsifying arrests and no more power over these young brothers and sisters. I denounce the power that we will be given the power to sustain ourselves from this filthy lifestyle and sustain ourselves and get our heads right so that we can stand up erect and that there is no one lurking behind the corner to take us off to prison because we had a good time and now we've been knocked upside the head by the club. Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to be knocked upside the head by the club. I want you to wake up and see your destiny without drugs and addictions and alcoholic substance. I know it can call you at times. I know you think it's your best friend. I know you think that it takes the pain away. I know you think it's the best thing instead of taking cocaine. All drugs are an addiction. I want you to put it down. I decree you put it down. Kappas, I'm going to hold you responsible. Even for my son, I'm going to hold you responsible for indoctrinating him into some undoctrinated lifestyle. I'm not only going to hold you to being responsible, I'm going to do you something better. I'm going to meet with you person to person, one-on-one, to tell you about the lifestyle that you are setting for an example for young men who are looking up to you. And Deltas, you are no better. To give a function without trying to identify the young men and women in a community, to show them how to become gentlemen and ladies without that sip of a drink and luring them into these programs, telling them you're an institution. You're not. And the truth is not in you. When you start talking about institution and you mix that and confuse it with the opportunity to consume alcohol, yes, you say some responsible drinkers can drink. And then, yes, you say it's okay occasionally to take some wine or two. Not when the man is waiting to take you away at the expense of your mothers and fathers and your friends. Think about the money that they have to come up with and how you're breaking the family and the bank. It's not necessary. And we are asking you to stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Now, do you want to call in to the phone lines? They're open for discussion. 646-478-0270. This broadcast has been interrupted. Our previous design show was designed for living together. But because of what's going on in our community, we had to interrupt our airways to bring you. John is going home with Judy, but who are you going home with? Is there a designated driver in the house? And that's what I want to ask you. Ladies and gentlemen, have you designated someone to drive when you go out? And, excuse me, have you purposed in your heart that you would no longer use substance or alcohol to entertain yourself with? Because it's too costly to have a good time these days. You want to make sure that you're not just getting your head right before you leave home. You want to make sure that you're leaving the alcohol alone. And I mean alone. Why? Because you have a brilliant young mind. And because your faculty levels are going to be called upon to lead a nation. Why? Because in the end time, you're going to have to recall short-term information. And you're going to have to beget long-term new ideas. Can you do this with a warped mind? No, you can't. Don't think that you can. You're not as good as you used to be. If you're now drinking, you've lost some of your faculties. Like it or not, ladies and gentlemen, I'm bringing this airways to your young children. Starting as young as middle school, they're drinking and they're experimenting with all sorts of barbiturates. And mothers, some of you sitting right at home are experimenting with pharmaceutical drugs. You probably have taken one too many, and you're sitting over in that corner nodding right now and planning on taking some more pain pills. Mothers and fathers, you don't have to be addicted no more. You can give it up. All you need to do is enter into an agreement of prayer. Stand in line and stand to your feet as we enter into an agreement of prayer that every man and woman represented here tonight who wants to be free from alcohol, drug addiction, marijuana, cocaine, can be free. Can be free. God is no respecter of person. What he's done for one, he will do for you. All you need to do is confess with your heart and soul that you believe who he says he is and ask him, call upon Eli. He will answer your prayers. Call upon God and tell him what you want. As we call upon God right now, stand to your feet, ladies and gentlemen. stand to your feet. This is the vibrational area where you get blessings and you receive the gifts. Father God, we come before you asking you to uproot every family that is represented here who needs a cure, not a fix, not an amendment, but a cure, and who needs to walk away from the drug addiction, alcoholic spirit. We speak to that demon and tell it to get up and walk up out of the room and get off of the spirit of these rightly guided men and women. Spirit of alcohol, spirit of cocaine, spirit of drug, pharmaceutical drug. You are a spirit, and we're speaking to you to leave these families alone. Get up off these young people. Clear their heads and clear the smoke around them. Show them that a fellowship with God is richly endorsed with power. And we do want more power because we know knowledge is power. Spirit of alcohol, your spirit has to leave the possession of the families represented here. I call on those designated drivers to remind their brothers and sisters that you are to drink no more. You are to not take alcohol into your bottle, being a richly and rightly guided human being. We are sober in our minds. We are clear in our thinking. We are vibrating on one accord. And we are perfecting, perfecting, perfecting. We can't do anything as a melanin-rich people but perfect. And when you are perfecting, you are in natural, harmonious, clairvoyant manner where you're third eye is open and you are seeing. Travel with me as I call you back into consciousness, into your melanin experience, where you understand that you are not just another byproduct, but you are uniquely and divinely created. And for the purpose of God, you are not your own. You do not own yourself. You have been bought with a price. You have no business putting substance into someone else's divinely made body. Now give it up, brothers and sisters. Let it go. Stop this mutilating and abuse of your body. And so you want to feel good. So you want to lift your spirit. So you want to feel encouraged. Then put your music on and go into the spirit. Put your music on and go. Because out of it comes the issues of life. And as you guard your mind and heart, it becomes a force to become reckoned with. You are not your own, ladies and gentlemen. You have been bought with a price. You do not own these vessels that you're in. You have just borrowed them for a period of time. You have no business destroying the bloodline. The bloodline where God has given you the ability to pass on his philosophies. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say something to you. This show was invented and created for those young people out there who might have gotten hooked into going to the parties, the discotheques, and hanging out. It's time out for those parties. Put the parties away. Go on and put on your big boy jeans and pull them up. There's a lot more things you can be doing with yourself than sitting around chewing the fat, dancing all night until you're blue in the face. Take the opportunity to manage and to work with other capacities. Find something else besides the pastime of smoking. People would have gone on with their lives doing something big and better while you're still stuck in a hellhole trying to recuperate from drug addiction, alcohol, constantly going back to these places of addiction. Now, I want you to understand Kappas, Deltas, AKAs, you've been called divinely to do something with men and women, and you've been held closely and accountable for what happened to these young men and women. And those of you who are sheriffs and working in a sheriff's capacity and see something wrong, turning your other cheek, ignoring what they're doing wrong, and not telling you is just about as wrong as the person who has been scrutinized. Once again, I want you to understand that moving on in your life means you have grown in numbers and understanding and wisdom, and all you're getting, get wisdom and understanding. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to come into your airways and to break up the show of the topic today. And these uninterrupted airways were broken into for a reason. There are many young men and women that need to be ministered to about how to find that good and special thing in a man or a woman, how to find favor with God, how to find courage, and how to be able to hold your head up, how to have self-worth, how to feel valued. Well, we celebrate you today and helping you to feel value, because your lives cannot be cut off. Now that I prayed the prayer of faith, your lives have been renewed. Those of you who may thought you were stuck on alcohol, stuck on drugs, stuck on barbiturates, and stuck on stupid, you're now clear to have your right mind. If you were distorted before, you're not distorted anymore. God has come, and when God comes, he does a complete job of healing. He knows where the damage has been done, and he will vindicate and release the spirit into the atmosphere. Don't think that it's strange over the next couple of days that the spirit is going to be on you every minute of the way to give up these drug addictive behaviors and attitudes. And I know they're out there because I've seen them. Young men and women want to tell their parents how to raise them, and they have grown to the level of addressing them with their first name. No matter however grown you get, you should never put yourself on a level of your parents. There should always be a point where you humble yourself. Humbling yourself so that you can be exalted. And once again, name a designated driver. Cut down on the alcohol. Quit the alcohol altogether if you can. And certainly don't do cocaine and don't do other barbiturates and drugs. Leave the drugs alone, I said. Leave the drugs alone. I'm asking you right now, ladies and gentlemen, to stop what you're doing. If you're out there, this is a very important show that we uninterrupted the airways for, and that is talking about a designated driver. How do you ask for a designated driver when you're going around a corner and you know you're not supposed to be driving a vehicle? You simply just ask. If a closed hand doesn't open, it can't get fed. And it's very, very important that we understand as black people, our bodies were never made up to take up beverages. It was just made up. And the drink that we've been given is an inferior drink compared to the drinks that we receive in the African facility. Now, I want to go on and say that OMI is going to take a station identification. I like for those phone lines to light up. I like for my guest, who has not called in yet, to call in. If you are out there, Mrs. Joy White, our co-parenter, please call in. However, I want to take a station identification and take a little train ride down the road, and I'll be back to see you in about 5 minutes. Take five, because the band needs to take a break. Come on out, man. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very much for accompanying us on this ride. And this is the Care to Read Room. And we want to say once again, knowledge is power. Say it with me. Knowledge is power. I'm going to throw my fist up in the air, and I want to send out three harambes to Brother Lonnie in the Harambe Room. Harambe! 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 Baba Booey to you, Brother Harambe. Keep on pushing on. Ladies and gentlemen, this part of the show is going to be dedicated to talking about living together. Now, of course you know I'm not talking about living together in holy matrimony. I'm talking about common law, and I'm talking about, is it legal? Do you need a marriage license, or can you go and get a contractual agreement? Or why is it necessary to live together opposed to marrying? And will you have to give up your public benefits, such as welfare, if you join a group? Now, there are very few people out there that engage in African lifestyle. And because this is an African-centered room, I wanted to bring this book up. There is a Nolan book that's being featured. You can go and get that book or read it online and get an idea of what is substantiated as legal and non-legal. More than likely, you will find some African families who are practicing in their culture, such as Islamic, or if they're practicing in Yoruba, Vodun, more than likely the priest in that organization can marry more than at least two times, and they must have employment and be able to find employment. And those young men who have that filthy lucre can plan to have a second wife after it's been discussed with their first wife. When they live together, it is not called a marriage. It is called a union, where they actually have gotten contracts drafted up and they've decided to live together. Now, I do know that there are some problems with the financial situation where you cannot reveal your stocks and bonds. And also, in the event that there is a divorce decree, the money for the sale of the property of the home can be affected. Question, who are those people out there that live together? Who are they? What are the characteristics and makeup? Or do they only just naturally become common law and live together? Some of us have been living together for over 13 years, and some of us have found that it's easier and cheaper to live together with your spouse opposed to marrying them because of economic reasons, such as losing their benefits. Some of them don't want to take that chance, but at the same time, they are living together. What is happening to these people that are male and male that are living together? What is happening? And what do you do when you want to take on two wives? First of all, you must explain it to your first wife, and she must be in agreement with you. And you must have a meeting of the mind before you start a second contract. And in starting these contracts, remember, they are not the marriage certificate. They are the contracts. And I'm very, very proud of the fact that some ladies and gentlemen have stopped working behind the closet door, and now they're out in the open to talk about it. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that there are many women that are living together for the benefit of economic status. But as we know, mothers have got to talk to their fathers about what it is they need, and don't put them in a scare tactic for taking everything in child support. Well, we're going to get ready to bring our show to an end. Our show has been featured for the youth out there and for some of those older people who might have been questioning what is going on in the community and what can we do about it. There is a lot you can do about it. You can voice your voice here in the Caregiver Read Room, and you can come in and have a delightful discussion. Why don't you lock in that dial at 646-478-0270. Keep it right there, little G. Keep it right there. I said keep it right there, little G. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get prepared, because we've got to start talking about knowledge. What do you get when you get knowledge? Does that mean the clock stopped ticking for you? Or does things go on? What does it mean, ladies and gentlemen? When you stop working at your last day of work, you don't seem to know what to do with yourself. Well, you make yourself busy. You volunteer for everything. You must understand that we have a society of idle children. They're coming. It's important that we take some time to evaluate our households to see what's lacking. What is it that our young people need? How can we fulfill their life? What are some strategies we could take them through so that they can better be equipped to handle the life of being independent? Yes. We are about to move on to our last segment of the program. And that last segment of the program, ladies and gentlemen, is a program to get you prepared to go into our new program entitled Financial Literacy. I want to talk to the young boys and girls who are involved with Junior Achievement, who are actually learning how to become economically astute. For you young boys and girls who are out there, I want to introduce you to Junior Achievement. I want to start to implement a few things in our program, such as economic status. What makes someone rich? And what is it that you have to maintain your riches with? Your riches meaning that you own the rights to your pattern. You must understand that young people want to be rich more than anybody else in the world. And according to them, they are going to have a new pair of shoes or their excess watch or their excess clothing. Because we're living in a day where more means better. And everyone is stockpiling stuff. And everyone understand that this new era we're leading in, we've led ourselves into an economic battle of struggling with other counterparts, when if we had a spare the way we was using things, we wouldn't have this problem. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, we now have that problem, and we're going to have to do something about greed. Nikita Khrushchev said that we will self-destruct with many things, self-destruct with things that will overtake us and material things. We're going to have to understand less is more. And as we obtain this information and we use it to better ourselves so that we can prepare to become leaders again. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for being a part of our Talking Cure and our special segment show under Who is the Designated Driver? Stay tuned for commercial, ladies and gentlemen.
Cadman presents the African American Audio Experience, including Black Boy by Richard Wright, A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry, selections from the Nikki Giovanni Poetry Collection, selections from the Tall Tales chapter of Every Tongue Got to Confess by Zora Neale Hurston, three poems by Gwendolyn Brooks, and selections from Langston Hughes Reads.
Thank you.
Cadman presents the African American audio experience, including Black Boy by Richard Wright, A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry, selections from the Nikki Giovanni Poetry Collection, selections from the Tall Tales chapter of Every Tongue Got to Confess by Zora Neale Hurston, three poems by Gwendolyn Brooks, and selections from Langston Hughes Reads.
It's D.A.
on the track, man.
Oh, yeah. About to close, so tell me what's gonna happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around, and your man just set you free. Baby, I'm your destination.
Disappear, girl, let's disappear.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're not quite ready to get up out of here. And Cal came on a minute too soon to disappear. But we're going to call him back to get us ready for our disappearing act. Right about now, this segment of the show, our guest was talking to me earlier and was not able to get in, but on the other line. And unfortunate for you guys, because boy, would she have been a treat. This was Mrs. Joanne White. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Mrs. Joanne White. She's a co-parenter, and she wanted to come on to talk about our feature show today that we're talking about, and that is who is the designated driver. And we're also talking about in the second half of our show, living together. What's that all about, ladies and gentlemen? Are you currently living with a significant other? Is that significant other paying rent, assisting, and helping you with all of the bills? Have you did any planning together and buying stocks and oxen? And do you have bank accounts together? What is the benefit? Would it be a benefit in buying a piece of property together and investing together? But you don't have that marriage license, but yet you both are getting Social Security and you're both retired, and you don't want to have to give up your finances in order to live together. So therefore, you've decided to live together without the complication of giving up all your filthy lucre. Well, it's quite all right, ladies and gentlemen. And actually, Omi prefers that. I said that I would not do a traditional wedding where I go down to the Justice of the Peace, but I will have the array of flowers and the dress and garment and the whole thing, but I'm going to do it African style, so there won't be a traditional wedding of a marriage license. It will be a union. Why? Because most of us have to guard our filthy lucre, and we don't want to lose our Social Security, and we sure as heck don't want to lose our pensions. So therefore, for the benefit of helping one another, it is affluential and perfectly acceptable for people to decide to live together and come out of the closet and be ready to talk about why you don't have a marriage license and you're living with old Joe now and you've been together for about around 25 years, but you don't know why you don't have a marriage license, but you just love each other like you've been married in holy matrimony. It's perfectly all right. Our parents and ancestors did it. There was no such thing as traditionally having a marriage license. Master, I think I'm going to be needing that traditional marriage license that you promised me when I got my freedom. Listen here, Toby. You jump that broom and you just do the doggone thing, and I'll pronounce you man and wife. And that's what they did. They jumped the broom. How many of you have featured that new movie, Jumping the Broom? No, I haven't been there yet, but you better believe Omi finna get her some popcorn and some Juju Babies and sit up in the place and watch Jumping the Broom, because I know it's going to be right on time. Yes, you ought to watch it. You ought to see what tradition looks like for our people. They're off the mark. They don't even know what belongs to us. They're claiming things that are Westerner and that are not from the African tribe. We ought to know our history. You ought to know your need, your purpose. You ought to know your need, your purpose. Oh, yeah. You ought to know your need, your purpose. Oh, yeah. Yes, you ought to know who you are. And that's part of the problem we're facing today, ladies and gentlemen. A large portion of us
are not in touch with ourselves. We are so out of touch that we're acting out. That's why I had to feature this show on who is the designated driver. Meaning, have you got your act together before you get on the road? Did you put that registration sticker on the end of that driver's license? Or when they gave you your registration paperwork, there was no sticker. Did you question when it would be coming? And what you should do if you happen to be pulled over and they don't see the sticker? Do you realize that you have a right to present your registration paid documents and let them do a trace on those? Who is the designated driver? Has that been done? Have you checked your glove compartment for all safety apparatus in the event that you should be stowed away on the highways because of a flat? Can you flag somebody down? Can you put up the necessary roadblocks to signal help? Who is the designated driver? Now, has that designated driver decided that they would not be drinking that evening because they want to stay alert? Guess what, African people? You all should be staying alert. We have been so off the mark for so long. Now that we've been given a chance to get a peep into the peephole, we ought to wake up our black minds and our black selves so we can see real consciousness and know what is in the mind of these men and women in blue. Ladies and gentlemen, they've been paid to do a job by any means necessary. And if you step out of line, any area, they are going to turn the signal and turn the siren. And you must have the designated driver in order. Things must be done. Things have to be in order. Do you have your insurance ID? Can you pull it out smoothly and easily without making a move like you're going for something else that might exemplify a weapon? Who is the designated driver? Who did you designate to do the talking and find all of these documents? You must have one, African American, because you're always jumping in a car saying we're going clubbing and get knocked upside the head. Oops, I done been knocked upside the head. I'm going to jail. Then you call your mama. Mama, I'm down here at the county. And mama looking around like somebody done stabbed her with a dagger. What you doing down there? Now, what you done gone and did? You didn't prepare yourself. You don't have a designated driver. You had no business being behind the wheel. You didn't have your documents in order. You didn't understand that this man has access to your life and making your life miserable in the event that you don't have these documents in order. Now, who is the designated driver? The only question tonight is who will accept the responsibility to be able to speak to the officer in an intelligent manner while scanning the environment and scoping in on everything that's happening and recollecting and storing information in the memory of what transpired and supernaturally documenting every word that said, even unto the point of leaving the scene of the crime, in the event that you must regurgitate everything that you have observated in this particular time and hour. Do you not know your mind must be able to survey the whole geographical area and everything around the circumstance. So when you're asked, what did you see, Miss Pinella? Miss Pinella must be able to say, I saw the whole thing. Couldn't you tell the truth and nothing but the whole truth? I'm going to tell you the truth and more. And do your stories. Collaborate with everyone in the car. Get together. Find out what Junior is about to say. And make sure you and Junior seen everything from the same perspective. Because if you didn't, Junior's going to have a new perspective on what you thought might have happened. Now, what are you saying? What are you saying, Omi? I'm saying black folks used to didn't go out in the dark without a plan. Junior couldn't leave the house past 10 unless he had a designated driver, somebody to come home and say, Mama, Mama, Junior got locked up. Junior had to do the test. Junior passed the test, Mama. He passed that test, but the officer wasn't satisfied, so he said, you're under arrest. Be able to tell your mother and your father what transpired. Be able to observe any inadequacy or abnormalities in the process. Do you not know that every officer walking the street is not a fully trained officer? Some of the officers are in training. And guess what? Training days are on you. You've got to be able to know your rights. You are pro se specialist and you don't know your rights? Get that book out. Start reading about what it is you must know in order to be able to execute your rights. Now, when you get in that jail, ask them for your one phone call. Ask them if you can call your probation officer. Ask them where will you be, when will you be going to court. And don't let them tell you you don't have a court date. Because within 48 hours, you must go before a judge in most cases. So when you do go before a judge, you must tell him, I have my own representation. I do not want you to assign me an attorney. You must ask, can you be represented by your own lawyer? And can you get a date to be released? Can you get a date to be assigned for your new hearing and be released on your own cognizance? And if you have a probation officer, you must call that probation officer immediately to let him or her know that you have been incarcerated and what your status is. And report to your probation officer and ask him or her to get involved to help speed up the releasing of your bottom. Now, what happened if you lose your bond? What happened if the judge decides to try you all at one time and you have no bond and your family can't release you? Is that circumventory information? Is that a violation? Do you have a right to utilize your own attorney and ask for a court date? Yes, you do. Your attorney can petition for you to obtain a bond so that you can be released. Now, you got to read up on your rights to know what your pro se rights are. While you're in the courtroom, if they want to assign you an attorney, please tell them, no, I have my own attorney that I'd like to represent me. This attorney that they refer to you no more has any vested interest in you than a man in the moon. He is getting paid. He's on someone's payroll. He is not your designated driver. He is not your designated and appointed lawyer. He is working for the state. He is there to make a deal. And he'll ask you, do you want what's behind door number one, door number two, or door number three? Whatever the case, you're going to catch a case, and you won't get a right to a speedy trial. So you have to be thinking. So why in the heck are you pulling your head up and getting your head right when you're supposed to be thinking? So many of us have been afraid of social studies and geography, institution, training. So many of us have thought that sociology was a deadbeat dropout course, that we shied away from all these government courses and didn't learn what rightfully belongs to us. Now we are skirting the issue, not reading on the lines, but in between the lines, not understanding and comprehending for ourselves what our rights are. Being violated, mutilated, and railroaded. Now, what do you mean, Omi, railroaded? There's a lot that could happen that will cause you to be railroaded. Inappropriate paperwork is one of them. Hijacking evidence, and at the same time, not being consistent in the procedure, showing unethical behavior, and fraternizing with the victims. And inconsistency in how you do things, where you purposely do certain things to one part of the parties in the car while lacking to do the same consistent thing with other parties in the car. It could be a conflict of interest. Most people who enter into the courtroom don't realize that the state is against you. When they decide to give you an attorney, the state and them have partnership together, and they intend to prosecute you. And when you're given an attorney off their list, he is either doing pro bono or he's getting paid from the government. He has no vested interest in the outcome of your case. Nevertheless, if he wins or loses, he's still getting paid. So why would you want to trust your life in a situation like that? When you can sit down with your own attorney, tell them the odds that are against you, talk about truths and what happened, tell them what you want the outcome to be, and they work towards that. You cannot tell any lawyer that's been given to you by the courts what to do. They are telling you what to do, and you're spending your money. And if you have bond money already there, they're going to get the bulk of your bond money. So you might as well just take your bond money out when you're getting released and give it to your attorney to have that attorney do a professional and adequate job for you, opposed to offering you a deal behind door number one or two or three. Now, what are you saying, Omi? What is this all about? The question, once again, is who is the designated driver who will be overseeing what happened during the night, which we so frequently forget all the details about? Well, you can't afford to forget the details, ladies and gentlemen. You really can't. You must keep your eyes, nose, and ears open, and you must remain conscious of everything that is happening. And the reason for this purpose is because you may be called in a court of law to testify on behalf of what you saw. You cannot swear to anything that you didn't see. You cannot use hearsay. Hearsay is inadmissible in a court of law. You have to tell from a perspective of what you've seen. You have to understand that lives are on the line and that people's probation who's violated can be hurt the hardest. And they can be preyed upon and used because they know you have one strike against you. And those who are against you and hate you, they are trying to send you away, saying that now you're going to really get the books on at you because you already had one strike on you. Nobody shouldn't have that kind of power over you. No one. And if there is someone playing that game, pretending to be your friend, pushing you to the edge so that they can expose you as if you are violating your first contract, you have to get away from them. You have to find other new friends. You have to find your boogie down solution in your bedroom and not in some cockamamie discotheque where you're getting knocked, oops, upside the head and getting carried out. And now you're finding that you're out of money and somebody's got your car and done stripped it down. How many of you have a problem when you're incarcerated finding your cars? Has that been a mystery? Have you been exposed to a racketeering where your cars are now compounded and you owe all sorts of money and you can't get your ride out? And you watch them lure your ride off to auctioning. They're not playing. They are serious. Serious than a heart attack. But who is a designated driver? Who's keeping all this together? You need a designated driver. You need somebody to be observative about what's happening and if rights are followed appropriately. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that our young people are being violated as we speak. Our young people have been mishandled and they are afraid to speak. I am going to say a prayer for those young people that boldness will not set in when they're out showing off, but when it's necessary and appropriate, that they will stand for themselves and advocate for others. What rights do you have if you feel like some of your rights have been broken to an investigation? What rights do you have to go and talk to someone about the misappropriation of your daughter or your son? And do you have grounds if they're over the age of consent? Can you advocate for them? This is according to OMI. I say you can. Because if an average citizen reports a crime and advocates for someone they don't know, you sure as heck can advocate for your son or daughter who is in prison falsely. What do you do? Who do you go to? There is a professional standard department that requires all officers to act in a certain manner and use ethics. In the event that they fall below the level of a prudent and ethical man, you can ask if their records and if their proceedings and how they handle things at night be investigated and have a full-blown investigation going under professional standard. Now, if you call the state, they may say you don't have any grounds, but you must push the issue. If your son and daughter is locked away illegally, they want you to believe that they have no rights. They want you to believe that they can lock you up for standing up for them by putting out false alerts and alarms. God is with you, ladies and gentlemen. God is with you. Don't be deceived and don't be afraid because God is with you. All of this will pass in a little while. In a little while, there will be no hierarchy to govern over people inadequately. And the time is coming quickly. where every man and woman will be judged by the content of their character, and they will not be judged unfairly. Racism is still alive and is running rampant throughout this earth because the urgency of the time now, people are violating other people's rights without a bit or at least as a slap on the hand. Their counterparts cannot see them being wrong. And some of them are reinforcing what they're doing. And if this is the case, you must plead to that officer and plead to his and appeal to his best interests about your rights, your inalienable constitutional rights to be treated as a citizen and to be innocent until proven guilty and to be given the right to all breathing apparatuses and tests and to be told what alcohol level you are over the breathing test. And if you are not told the appropriate thing, take a picture of that in your mind. Be mindful that procedures weren't followed because they must be followed. Go and Google procedures for an alcohol breathalyzer. Google procedures for an arrest. Test the system. Try the system. See if they have been performing inadequately. And if they have, you have a right to bring an investigation. Now, I didn't say charges. I said an investigation because you want things to be right on the roadway. Just as you want people to be safe and protect the others that are driving, you want the system to be a safe system to protect those innocent people who are driving who are not drunk. Mothers and families, you need to be enraged when your children come home and tell you that their cars have been taken and compounded. You need to be enraged, and you need to touch bases with somebody to talk about the consistency and irregularities of this thing happening in our community. It's a new phase, you would say. No, it's an old phase with just a different name. And those who are losing their rights as we speak, the higher up they go in the office, the less rights they lose. If you have no inalienable emancipation, your rights are probably diminishing too. But at the same time, you must, mothers, hear your children, ask questions of your children, speak to them, and believe what they're telling you. And if there's something gone wrong, you stand up and advocate. Follow the leader. Omi has told you our children need you. They need you in these courtrooms. They need you in these prisons. Infiltrate the prisons. Go in with every program you can bring. Help to rehabilitate our brothers and sisters so that they will have a chance to come back into the world functioning normally and not abnormal. The priestlings can do a better job, I know. I know they're up against a whole lot, and there's a lot of fools out there on the road doing what they are not supposed to be doing. But there are a lot of people who are, and should you be exonerated or brought up as if you're doing your job? Or should you be reprimanded to not to falsify information? I say our House of Representatives, our senators ought to be aware if there is a racket. And if it is, they must intervene to stop it. Our young children are telling us the stories of their cars being hidden out. And then later, someone sniping their merchandise. It's not right. What I want you to understand is that young people are going to be our leaders. And you must teach them the right way if they're going to transition in our places and lead us to the next dispensation. And as we go into the next dispensation, I want you to ask yourself, who is the designated driver? Who will step up if I should fall? If this man should fall, who will step up? And don't tell me you got to buy. They said you were good and you could walk and you didn't have to have a breathalyzer and you didn't even have to have your background check. Let those antennas go up and observe the inconsistency and unethical behavior and report it. Write a document. Give it to your incarcerated friend to help free him or her, to let the system know that partiality has been shown. And ladies and gentlemen, as you begin to look over your personal life situation, I want you to evaluate one thing. Our black youth are being locked away as we sit here and speak, and they are not having proper representation, and they are being taken off these highways as if they're going through the Underground Railroad. We must intervene, and we must show them the proper way of advocating for themselves. And I like to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, you are being held responsible to be an advocate, to be an go-between person, to speak out on behalf of inadequacy, procedures that might prove to be a violation of a young man or woman's rights. Fight, I say, and stand up, have things looked into and investigated, and free these young people from these prisons. They're going straight from the university to the prison. It has to stop. The press needs to know about it, and the press needs to be there to evaluate what's going on. But most of all, the designated driver is not enough. You must have someone that is conscious-minded about what transpired during their arrest. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to sign off now by saying we give your airways back to you, and we thank you for letting us interrupting your airways to bring you that segment of the show of talking about who is the designated driver. We're going to start a campaign of the designated driver, and that campaign, you can list it, read it, and talk about it, because I've been affected, you've been affected, your loved ones been affected, and we're no exemption. When we bleed the same red blood, but we must know that we bind together as one to stand up and protest against inadequacies all over the land. And I like to say, Lord, we thank you that you're bringing those young men and women in. You are talking to them as I speak about eliminating the atmosphere of the club event. Let them bypass that, God, and let them go to another level of entertaining themselves. Don't let them set themselves up to be a loser the rest of their life. And mothers, talk to your children about having a different life and a different procedure about entertainment altogether to keep them protected. And we pray that they have strength and the fortitude to speak to these Greek fraternities and tell them, no more will we desecrate ourselves and no more will we set ourselves up to be objects of scrutinization. No more will we die for another party. There are many other issues out there in the world that we need to attack other than another feel-good party. You could feel good in the spirit realm, but not intoxicating your body. Young men and women, hear me well. Put down the glass of alcohol and put down the party life and find a solution to transition into men and women that are ethical and that are ready to take the reins and lead this caravan. Stand up and lead, brothers and sisters, and take over the lead. You being the David, take the role and take the slingshot, because you're in a war and you're going to have to fight. but fight fairly, and do not fight and exchange one indecent deed with another. Do not be found guilty riding dirty with drinking alcohol, drugs. Do not do it. Quit making babies that you can't take care of. The party life is over. The party is over and the lights are now on. It is time to live your life righteously. I was once young and I loved the party. I loved to go out and dance, but I never mixed alcohol with fun. I knew the consequences and I knew the outcome. And I'm telling my son what the outcomes can be. And I'm telling you, you can bypass that. You can save the officer the time so he can go after the real crooks. And you can stay up out of these clubs and quit getting knocked upside the head. You done been clubbed to death, and now you can't find your car. Your impound car is hidden, and all of your jewels have been taken. And now you're sitting in the pen. And you don't know where your cell phone is. Wake up, I say. Wake up, I say, and become conscious. This is Omi speaking to you, signing off as Maddie Ruth's baby sister. Take care, ladies and gentlemen. I love you and want the best for you. And change your world and your attitude, and your altitude will change too. I'm going to call Carol to take me up out of here and do my disappearing out. Carol, I'm ready to get up out of here. Can you take me up out of here? It's DA. Come on, let's go. Take me up out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a special feature for you. Let's get up out of here, Carol. I'm ready to go.
Here we go.
Here we go, Carol.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop dancing.
We're on the dance floor, doing more than dancing. The club's about to close. Tell me what's going to happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around and your man just set you free. Baby, I'm your destination.
Life.
kick him up out of the club. You don't want to be bounced upside the head and found in the institution called the penal institution from a good night's sleep all the way into the pen. Step aside, Greeks, and do something different. Decide for yourself that you must educate your people in a way that they can benefit a nation. Explain to these young people that a night out partying could be a lasting problem in your life. It might be something you have to live with for a long time, and it can be devastating, and I'm dedicating this show to my son. You being a Kappa man, understand that you were a man before you ever met Kappa, and Kappa can no more make you a man than you already are. And surveying the most parties and setting up all of the apparatus and passing out the flyers only keeps you in an environment that is not conducive to having head knowledge. You got to develop head knowledge and not just mind knowledge. Kappas, reevaluate your mission statement. Reevaluate your objectives, Deltas. Omegas, Omega Psi Phi, a.k.a. all Greeks and other Caucasian Greeks, reevaluate your mission statement. Are you living up to the capacity of what is called upon for a Greek man or woman? Do you understand that these trainings came up out of Egypt and these were noble men and women who were not disgracing the name and the emblem of their Greek? When you mix the emblem with intoxication, you have disgraced the emblem itself. You have torn down the mighty fibers of what upholds the institution. Do not be an institution basher, and do not bash in the fabrics and the statues of this particular institution called Greek. Stop the drinking. Take the alcohol out of the scenario. Take the partying out and find a way to indoctrinate these young men and women. Find a way to impart knowledge to them and graft them in to the tree of knowledge and bringing them in so that they can carry the torch and hold it high with dignity, with ethics and values, Iwa Pelu, good character and good conduct. I say Greek, my brothers, sisters, and brothers, the Deltas, I say I spent 26 weeks with you, and I prepared my son for what was to come, but nevertheless, he wanted to give his hide and his body for something noble, to only find out on the other end that there was nothing noble about another party and being knocked upside the head. Please, please, Greek, turn your mission statements around. Beget knowledge and wisdom and impart it to your young neophytes so that they can carry on the banner and not be accused of being just another gang in a blue or red or crimson and cream outfit, tapping their beats with their canes. We are going to have to reevaluate our mission statement and look at the objectives and whether or not they align themselves with the standards and the moral fabrics of our institutional ancestral worshiping. Get back into your ancestral worshiping and your institutions call culture. Reintroduce your young people to culture. It is systemic and it is lasting, and it will bring about honesty, justice, and loyalty, which will prevail all over the land. I say to you, keep your moral fibers high. Teach your youth and your neophytes how to uplift their moral fibers and let the club glow. Let the club go. Cal, what did we say? We're going to let the club go. Let the club go. dead at home. I'm out. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just featured the Carrie to Read Room. Thank you so much. And Cal is talking about window posting. And if you're one of those who are out there going along to get along with your crew, hanging out at the club, you're window posting. And man, aren't you in for a surprise? If you're not one of these groupies and you're hanging out with groupies, trying and want to be a groupie, trust me, it'll never work. Window posting is what you're doing. You need to come out of the club and give it up. Give it up because there's other things that beset you that are much greater. I will see you tomorrow, same time, same place in the Carrie to Read Room at 10:30 p.m. Please, why don't you meet me here? Don't beat me here. And I'll be here in rare form. And we're continuing on with Knowledge is Power. As we empower ourselves, we better ourselves. So empower yourself with knowledge. Excuse me. Empower yourself with knowledge today and not just with alcoholic beverages and watching the commercials and emulating what you see on TV in the clubs. All the songs now that are being dedicated to alcohol. in the clubs, tearing the clubs up, and while drinking and intoxication is a thing of the past. It's not something we do anymore. We know better now, so we do better. I'm looking to see you do better, Greeks, and I know that I'll see you again and be a part of what you do, but I've never drank with you is one thing I refuse to do. And most people think you're disrespectful when you won't take a drink with someone, but I know what it does to the African-American race. I know what it does to the man that has the red blood inside of him. It is acting as if it's a drug, and it causes you to act out. And I know that we've got to offer our people something better, and I'm relying on all the Greeks to hand over something that could be meaningful to these young brothers and sisters. I'm relying on you. I know you can do it, Greek. Go ahead on, Greek. Lay out the new plan for the new Greek fraternities and sororities. I'll help you. Go ahead. Write a new mission statement and come out of those clubs reevaluating the effects of clubbing and what it does to your young people. Don't be knocked upside the head. You done been clubbed again. Now come up out of the club. Lock the dial in, 646 Capitals, 478-0270. If you're a Kappa man or woman out there, call me tomorrow. I want to chat with you. I want to see what your response is about the outcome of these young brothers and sisters being intoxicated while up under the wheel and partying at your parties. I want to see what you say about it. I believe in you, Greek. I believe you're going to change things and make things for the better. I believe and trust in our youth and know that they have them in it. It's in them. Now, Kappas, Deltas, AKA, it's up to you to adduce the knowledge in them and draw it out of them. I didn't say pour it in them. I said draw it out of them. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early, in the Carter Room at 10:30 p.m., talking stuff and jive, but not drinking and driving. Leave that alone. What did I say? Omi said, leave that alone. This is dedicated to all those young brothers and sisters at Purdue University and Indiana University. It is a farce. It's a misnomer. You've been hoodwinked. Don't believe the hype. Step aside, my brothers and sisters. Take your juice and drink juice and sip on water. Clear your mind because your body will follow. Follow the leader. Follow Omi. I'm taking you somewhere. And you can rest assured that you will be sober-minded and getting over the grain house. So we will lead again in the year of 2019. We will be prepared to be healthy and able citizens to lead this Constitution. But if you're intoxicated and not sober, don't expect to lead. If you are one of the leaders, then follow the leader so we can clean up our act and we can stand up erect and carry this nation again. We will see you tomorrow. And we say, Baba Booey to you, y'all. We'll be right back here tomorrow. Same time, same place. Now listen to Nikki Giovanni as she takes us out of here. I will see you, family. Stay encouraged. And young people, keep the faith. Knowledge is power.
Cadman presents the African American Audio Experience, including Black Boy by Richard Wright, A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry, selections from the Nikki Giovanni Poetry Collection, selections from the Tall Tales chapter of Every Tongue Got to Confess by Zora Neale Hurston, three poems by Gwendolyn Brooks, and selections from Langston Hughes Reads.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good evening, and I will see you, Odabo.